Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
This morning, I want to share very briefly within this first service the parable of the lost son. The parable of the lost son. I promised you last week that I was going to look into the subject of the prodigal son, or the boy or the young man you know as the prodigal son. He was nameless, but he was a very terrible child. Amen. So this morning, I want to look at Luke chapter 15, and I'm going to read from verse 11 all the way to verse 32. And Jesus was speaking here, and he shared this parable. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them had said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that faileth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine. Sinned against you, against heaven and before you, and I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to marry. Now his eldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew near, nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked, What these things meant? And he said unto him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And he was hungry, and would not go in. Therefore, came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, these many years do I serve you, neither transgress I at any time your commandment. Yet thou never gavest me a kid that I may make merry with my friends. And as soon as this your son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou killest for him a fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all I have is thine. And it was meet that we should celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive, he was lost and now found. The parable of the lost son. Today I want to bring you partly a word of encouragement, and on the other hand, partly some form of godly rebuke. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you still in the house? Now, this chapter opens with, in chapter 15, verse 1, it actually opens with an accusation when the sinners, publicans, the clubbers. I'm not talking about clubbing in Mushi and Oshodi. I'm talking about clubbing in Via, in Lekki, in Banana Island. When they came around Jesus, there was something about the person and the nature of Jesus that attracted sinners. It didn't repel them. It attracted them. Somehow, they just loved his style. They loved his swagger. Jesus knew how to go into a party and sit with them and yet not be contaminated by whatever it was that they did. It's not like what we do today, where the only way you can prove that you're a Christian is that you don't associate. But this is Jesus and he's the pattern son. When we say someone is a pattern son, that means that if you follow him, you can't miss it. That's what it means. So Jesus was with the publicans and the sinners. You see, the scripture recognizes the fact that these guys are sinners. So they were actually sinners. They weren't suspects. They were confirmed sinners. But you see, everywhere Jesus goes, he always has his nemesis. Like you have the Joker always stealing Batman, and you have the Sandman always going after Spider-Man, and then you have who's that guy after Superman? Doomsday. What's that? His friend, his former friend. You guys don't watch films. You need to all get born again, right? You have Doomsday, Darkseid. Don't worry if you don't understand. Amen. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. So there seems to be only this nemesis that seems to tag along with your destiny. And you see that not too far away from where he was talking to the Pharisees, to the Republicans. And I sometimes ask, is that where they got the Republican Party for? You know, they just add an R-E and you have Republicans. Amen. So, the Pharisees and the scribes. The Pharisees were a sect of people that arose from between Malachi and 400 years between Malachi and Matthew. The book of Matthew was when that sect rose up amongst the people. But you see, the Pharisees were not always bad people. They started well. They started by teaching people the law. But at some point, when you place a lot of emphasis on doing a lot of talkings, and you rise and attain a particular stature, and then at some point corruption begins to set in. So the idea people had of these guys were that they were very righteous people, and then the scribes were always there to detail history, to document history, to interpret the law. So these guys were there and they were murmuring. You see, there is something about murmuring that God detests. When you murmur, even when nobody hears it, God hears. The Bible said that many, about 23,000, they died in the wilderness because they murmured against the Lord. Some of those things you call facing fact, and you say within your spirit, they are murmurings, and God detests it. They said, this man, look at what they were saying. They didn't say it out. They murmured. That's murmuring. Nobody can really make out what you are saying, but it's very clear in the ears of God. He said, this man receives sinners. When Jesus sees a sinner, he doesn't say, Brother Matthew, are you here to finally give your life to Christ? He said, oh, how far? They give themselves a high five, and then they do like, he received sinners. I know you can't understand that. You are battling with it, but if he greeted them like an apostle, they won't come the next day. Say, how far? Then they do some of those things that people do, and then like, they just connect. So, and then he not only receives them, he not only gives them high five and leg five, he also eats with them. Waiting at the chop, oh yeah, bring. He doesn't even pray. There's no record of him praying. He just goes straight into the food and he eats. So these guys were saying, if this guy really was a man of God, you see, because we judge after the external. Oh God. So this was the basis of this parable. This was what led to Jesus telling this parable. But he didn't tell that parable alone. He mentioned the answer to this murmuring. Go to verse 3. The answer to this murmuring was that he gave them three parables. Number one, he gave them the parable of the lost sheep. And I'll come back and redeem that. Then he gave them the parable of the lost coin. He said there's always something getting missing. Then finally, he gave them the parable of the lost son. Jesus responded to their murmurings with scripture. From this particular story, Jesus pointed out that among other sons, there are at least two major, all should, everyone that associates with God can be categorized into two categories. Number one, you have bastard sons. Number two, you have true sons. When we were having prophetic school, was it yesterday or so, I gave you, or maybe was it on Wednesday, Bible study online, I gave you about four different types of sons. But generally, they are categorized as two. True bastards. And I want to give you characteristics of bastard sons. Now, let me explain that when we talk about sons, sonship is not a gender. Sonship is not a gender in the Jewish culture. It's not a gender, it is a status. And I please want you to hold this somewhere at the back of your mind. Glory to God. You have male and female made them. That male and female is gender. Sonship is status. And that's why there's nothing like daughtership. As far as the Jewish culture is concerned, when you attain a certain level, what they refer to you is that you are a son. And that's why a child, as long as he remains a son, as long as he remains a child, differeth nothing from a servant. When you are not spiritually mature, it doesn't matter how much noise you make. You are categorized as a servant in the hierarchy of the kingdom. But there is a level you develop and you rise into, and then God can say, today you are my son. Today I have begotten you. So there is a particular rite that is done in the Jewish culture where you transit from being a child to becoming a son. And that happens, I think, at the age of 12. So you become a man at the age of 12. And that was what happened. Jesus didn't have anybody to do that for him, per se. And that was why God himself had to do it at the age of 30 for him at the baptism, at the water baptism. It is a ceremony where the father proclaims over his son that today you are my son. You now have permission to carry my name. You have permission to represent me. Today, I and my father, we are now one. Under the structure of sonship, you become equal to your father. You become equal to his authority. And that's why Jesus could say, I can take of that which is my father and I can show it to you. So, but when you are not a son, I will tell you a few characteristics. And I think I have about 9 of them. I don't know how much you can undo, but please pick your pen. Bastard sons, number one, are those sons that the only thing they have in common with their father is the name. They can be David Adeyemi, but it's just the name. There's nothing else of God's character. There's nothing else of God's nature. There's no sense of destiny. There's no sense of assignment. They are just there and they are doing their thing. No sense of assignment. The only thing that ties them together, and people, when people hear your name, they say, oh, are you the son or are you the daughter of so-so? They say, yes. But there is nothing physically that points to that reality. The only thing they have in common with their father is name. Number two, they have no regard for their father's opinion. That boy came to Jesus and, that boy came to his father and said to his father, he said, give me the portion that pertaineth to me. He said, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided them unto his living. Now, listen to me. If you went to your dad or your son came to you, if you have a child, and said, dad, I want you to give me the part of my inheritance when you are still alive. In Yoruba culture, it will be assumed that you've already killed your father. Now, did you notice that in this, please go to that verse. I think it should be the next verse or so. Do you realize that when that boy asked his father for his inheritance, look at that scripture. Did you notice the father never passed a comment? Can you see it? He said, father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And the father divided it. He didn't say a word. He has no regard for it. He didn't ask, dad, I'm trying to go and establish a part of our business in Abuja. Can I have your permission to go? He just came and said, this is what I want. Some of these things you hear when sometimes people pray, by the words of my mouth, by the words of your heart, command ye me. I command you, God, go and bring me my wife. Go and bring me my money. Go and bring me my business. Command ye me. Command ye me. No regard. God is not some talisman. You just like snuff box. You just well, you don't know if you've never taken snuff. Well, you see, the most beautiful part of taking off is when you are doing like this. Go and watch both films, you see it. Just, don't ask me how I know. I've never taken it, I just saw it. I've never taken it, so you don't have to worry. But you watch it long enough, you can almost tell how to do it. No regard for his father's opinion. Your father is right there on his seat, and you are saying, give to me. You are trying to attain sonship before the time. You have, words have not been spoken over you, yet you have arrogated just to yourself certain things that pertain to sonship, for which you have no jurisdiction or protocol. Pastors don't have no regard. They claim that they are quoting scripture. They claim that they are right in Christ. But number one, they have no regard for they have no connection to their father except by name. And number two, they don't see God's opinion. They believe that once they come to God and they pray, what God has to do is just to sanction it and bless it. Number three, bastard sons, they are jossikers. They will go to any extent to. You see that after a few days, that boy packed all his nuts and he went country. And the Bible said he went and started justly. That is when he started getting revelation on whether it is good to go to parties or go to club. After all, Jesus related with sinners. And then that was where he started learning the songs. I remember when I was in the bank and we went to training school, and after your training school, you go to the party. They organize a party, and they took us to the beach. And that's why I started hearing that song, Igboro Ti Daru. They brought a DJ, you know. And I saw my friends that I thought were very organized bankers, very coordinated, just say, good morning, how are you? Welcome to Echo Bank. Welcome to Shonik Bank. And I just saw them. Nothing do you. You know, I sat somewhere, I didn't dance. But look at how the thing is playing back more than 12 years after. Those things are story. You have a massive story capacity in your spirit. You just wake up in the morning, nothing do you. You are supposed to wake up and begin to pray in tongues. But somewhere in your mind, something is just nothing do you. You are angry at the economy. You are angry at the government. And then you just, out of nowhere, your subconscious gives you a song. Meanwhile, the Bible says that you will rise up with a song in the morning. Well, nothing do me, nothing do you. That's why I don't like attending receptions. Because no matter the prophecy and what you do, they already have their DJ waiting. So just get out. Just get out. Just go say, God bless you. Happy married life, and get out. I remember we went to join the particular person. I and my friend, Pastor Desmond. I think my wife was there in Ikoyi Court. And, you know, these people, you know, this is the head of children ministry. This is also going to a committed church, you know. And we thought we were joining Christians. After I joined them at the court, you know, and then Pastor Desmond told me, say, let's get out of here now. I said, no, they said we should, that they still want us to bless them during the reception. Like, what bless again? Let's go. I said, they are my people. Let me just honor them. That was my biggest mistake. Nothing do you. Me on Igba, go Igba. Just close your ears in the spirit. I now have to tap. Please, when am I praying for you? The moment we prayed, pack my Bible, pack my iPad. People know what they are going to do. Don't be fooled. Pastor David, when you join them, carry your Bible and go immediately. Look at me now, 12 years magic. Still playing, or 30 years now, playing in my head. I almost know the entire lyric. But I just attended our graduation ceremony in Oshoni Bank. That was all. That's all I needed to know the song. Meanwhile, you've been hearing me quoting scriptures, but you know you can't remember the scripture I quoted last Sunday. You can't remember. Because nothing do you and nothing do me. Pleasure seekers. They hear of parties, and they are thinking, what dress am I going to wear? They've not been invited. I don't have shoes. I don't have the shoe to wear. Bastard sons. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Bastard sons. You are a son, but you are a bastard. A bastard doesn't mean you don't know your father. A bastard means that you don't have any, nothing of your father is in you. That's what it means. It doesn't mean you may know your father, but you may be rebellious. That's why people that cannot look at their father's face at home and call their father idiots, call their father stupid, we go on Facebook and look at someone like Pastor Adeboye and say, look at this old fool. One day, Pastor Adeboye was sharing and he said, there was a man in government that made a law that if you have been a pastor, a general overseer for 10 years, you should step down. And I know the young man is one of my sons. So I sent him to come and he asked me to come and meet him. The person asked Pastor Adeboye to come and meet him in the office. He said, well, by the grace of God, when I call governors, they come. By the grace of God, when I call presidents, they come. But he asked me to come. It was that week they sacked the guy. Bastard sons. People would think that because they have risen above their father, that they are stronger in grace. You may be stronger in anointing, but you may not be stronger in grace. It is grace that makes a father say to you, kneel down and lays his hands on you and say, from today you will begin to prosper against all odds, against the economy, against everything. That I stand upon the staff that the Lord has given to me. I rest on the culmination of my trials and my pains and my victories in Christ, and I bless you. That one doesn't need rain. Anywhere you plant, Isaac will reap. Anywhere you plant, you will reap. It's not a matter of calculating what's the dollar to the naira. Don't forget about those things. Pleasure seekers. They love, they plan for the party 7 days ahead, but they're not thinking of church. Bastard sons. Pleasure seekers. They are not useful in God's house, but they like to be part of the party planners. Bastard sons. People who make excuses and tell themselves, my worship is in my heart, I can always reach God from where I am, but they will enter a taxify cab and go all the way to Jebo Ode for a party. And then tell you, Pastor, I actually traveled. Where did you go? I know you traveled, but where did you go? Was God there with you? Elisha said unto his servant, did my eyes not follow you? Somewhere your father's eyes followed you, but your father dare not go. That's where you are going. Bastard sons. Kingdom matters, family matters cannot be given to them. You cannot commit anything into their hands. Bastard sons. They don't know how to do anything. It's just Iboroti that they don't know. You can't really tell them do anything and you close your eyes, because they have not learned the family trade. They don't know that this is a family and we have one.